Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Off Script.
Hello.
We have a guest.
You interrupted
today.
Our intro for you, John.
Oh, thought I was gonna say hello too. So I guess it's getting cut.
No, it's not. We're gonna leave this in. What's your question, John?
Why did you invite me to be a part of this?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because I convinced you to read this, and we're going to do some convincing to Allie.
You didn't convince me to read it. I was going to read it, but the fact that you like blew through them shocked me, since you don't read.
It clearly didn't shock Allie, though.
Not at all.
She's why not?
Like, oh.
Should we like tell them what we're doing?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so hello, everybody. This is Off Script, where we usually compare books to their movies, but today we're just comparing, not even comparing, we're talking about books.
We have a mini-sode.
Yes. And we have a guest that y'all have heard many, many times.
Many, many times.
Fan favorite, John.
John Brown.
Okay. Brianna, Daniel, and Allison Lines. Since we're all talking full names for some reason.
But you guys have read a book.
Yeah, we've read a few books.
But we've read quite a few books, more than three. Three is usually a few, but in this case, we've read
several.
Basically five. I'm very nearly complete with five. I've got the sixth ready to go on my coffee table, ready to pick up, and the seventh one I'm purchasing as soon as it comes out. It releases next Tuesday. And
okay,
the eighth book is being written and will be released June 2026.
Wow. Because it is a already planned 10 book series.
Okay. Those were
actually
my questions.
I didn't hear that it was only 10 books. Where did you hear that?
From Brandon and Kylie.
I haven't read anything about that. But it could be true. I can't dispute it. But I would be surprised. Because
if that's the case, then I don't think I can say what I want to say right now, because we're just going to barely be talking about the first book. So,
oh, you could say it right now. We could talk about it right now. And you can cut it if you need to.
If it stops at the 10th book and in the 5th book, they're only on like 4 or 6.
That's what I'm saying.
He fucking dies.
So, it isn't quite, but it's almost one floor at a time, and we'll get into that in more detail, but essentially it's supposed to be 18 floor dungeon in this book.
Okay.
That's a plot point.
And wait, hold on, we haven't even said
no,
this.
I know. But real quick, I just wanted to, just since we're on the topic of how many books there are going to be, basically he's kept pace with one floor per book, and if there are only 10 books, then
and there's
something
floors.
Seriously going to drastically change with the pace of the story, or something's going to happen that causes a drastic, just complete end and cut off to something in the story to make it not 18. Just kind of weird. So we'll see.
Or they might be tricking y'all and say it's 10, and then maybe they've only committed to 10, but if it continues to be as popular, maybe they'll do it all.
Keep going. Yeah. That's a good point.
That's true. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I mean, right now it's blowing up, as we all know, and we've talked at least within our inner circles so far. The news has been announced where tabletop RPG version of this is about to drop.
Being made.
Video game is
being
made.
Yeah.
TV show by Seth MacFarlane and Universal is being produced.
Mm-hmm. So I'll have to read this at some point. Yeah. Hey, so John, what is it called?
Yeah.
Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Yes. Okay. Yes, that is the book
might
that we
be
are talking about.
Dungeon Crawler Carl and Donut, but maybe just Carl.
Okay.
Sure.
What is the plot?
Rough synopsis. Aliens take over the world. And how they do that is they kill everyone by making a dungeon on the planet Earth. If you were inside buildings, you got crushed. If you were outside of buildings, you then had the chance to run into the dungeon, or you can live on the world without anything and not go into the dungeon.
Okay.
That was very, very half-baked. That was half-baked intro.
So when it's like the dungeon, there's 18 mm-hmm. floors. Mm-hmm. If they ran into it, does that mm-hmm. mean the floors are going down?
That's deeper how I,
to the
yeah.
dungeon?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And it's essentially D&D or any RPG you've ever played where if you ran into the dungeon, you then get equipment that you can level up your stats. You get stats and your stats get leveled up as you go along. You have to train certain stats as you go.
Yeah. Is that how that you gain new abilities? It's the genre's literary RPG. So it's a lit RPG.
Is that how it's kind of written? Like he just mm-hmm. improved a stat, or is it like written like a story? Like
so it's written in first person, so it's all from Carl's perspective, and so mm-hmm. he talks and tells you like I just hit level 54.
Oh, okay.
No, but the AI will also sometimes say things, so we haven't touched
the AI
on that.
Is essentially the aliens that took over the world and created the dungeon.
Got it. Okay.
He gets notifications in his HUD, his heads up display, because he actually has an interface kind of within his brain that he can see and interact with, a whole menu as if he's in a game, and he'll get achievements.
Mm-hmm. And he gets rewards for the achievements.
You know, and mm-hmm. rewards of loot boxes. And that's where he also gets noticed of level ups and stat increases, and he can go into the menus and assign stats that way as well.
Okay. My favorite part is how this book starts is Carl is telling us about his ex-girlfriend B and how she had this cat who she entered into basically the cat tournament things where it's like her pedigree was so good. She was top tier cat, but he's like, but she was about to get rid of her and now I'm stuck with her. And oh my God, I wish I didn't have this cat. This was B's cat, blah, blah, blah. But then Donut runs outside right before everything goes down. And Carl is like, God damn it, I had to go save her.
Wait, you didn't say the line.
God damn it, Donut.
Yeah, that's it. God damn it, Donut.
So then he runs outside to save her. And that's when all the dungeon gets made and crushed, and he sees someone's head get decapitated because they had their head out the window.
Oh.
Yeah. And
wait, can we say that this may contain spoilers to people who may be interested. Smart. I mean, it's probably going to be at the mild beginning, spoilers. First half is going to be mild spoilers, and then maybe it gets deeper spoilers. Maybe we should just like warn them if we get to deeper spoilers, but so far we're not that bad.
So then Carl and Donut run into the dungeon together, and he feeds Donut this treat that turns her into a talking cat.
Okay, that's a kind of a bigger spoiler.
Yeah.
But I do...
Talking cat is a big spoiler?
I feel like it's not.
Yes, no, it totally is, because I remember reading that part and just being like, whoa, like this is a turning point. It's a major story arc that just unleashes Donut as being a full-fledged kind of character in the book. Otherwise, she was just kind of a pet.
Brandon and Kylie told us that there was a talking cat in the book.
No, I had totally forgot. And now that we have spoiled it for all of our listeners, we should probably cut this part.
I'm not cutting it.
We spoil things every episode.
Yeah, come on, John.
Well, I do want to just kind of go and touch back at the beginning plot just real quick. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bree did a good job at describing some of the, you know, very, very concisely, but I do just want to say, so as soon as the game starts, as Bree mentioned, Carl and Donut are inside. Carl's kicking it back, playing like Call of Duty with his buddy. And then it's like 2 a.m. He lives in Seattle. The author actually lives in the Gig Harbor region. It's local to us as podcast people here.
I know some of the characters are wearing Seahawks clothes.
I love it.
So it's 2 a.m. It's winter time. It's pretty cold out. It doesn't get that cold out here compared to like New England or some other places in the U.S. where it gets pretty chilly. But it is cold. It's 2 a.m. winter time, and Donut jumps out onto this bare tree branch, and Carl's like, God damn it, I gotta go get you, right? So he puts on Bee's pink Crocs, and he's in his boxers. He was chilling out playing COD, like I said, and he puts on a jacket, and he's still in his boxers though, so it's a leather jacket. He walks outside, and he looks up, and he's like, Donut, get down here, right? One of his neighbors, this old lady, is like, what are you doing, Carl? Like, what the heck? Why are you being so loud? It's 2 a.m. Get back inside. You're going to get frostbite, hypothermia. And so as she's talking to him, the event that Bree describes happens, right? All the buildings just suddenly collapse. All the man-made kind of structures just collapse into the ground. And you see this old lady's head, the same one that was just yelling at him, roll out onto the ground right in front of him. And he looks down in shock and horror. And he's like, that's, you know, Miss whatever her name is. I forget her name off the top, her head. And he's realizing it. And he's just looking up, and he's in complete shock at, you know, he lives in the Seattle area, right, where there's so much population density, building after building after building. And he's looking out and he sees nothing but just holes where buildings used to be, and almost just a flattened earth. It's just craziness, right? And then he just gets all of a sudden this HUD notification pops up in front of him with text, and he hears this AI voice kind of notifying him, like, you know, per syndicate law section 352B, you know, this planet is now under attack, or under purview, or under lawful extraction, if you will, from the Borant Corporation, which is the entity that controls is kind of the ruler of the dungeon, so to speak. They're a company, a universal kind of entity corporation that is harvesting the earth for the minerals and the other resources that it has. Essentially, they're one of the main kind of antagonists throughout the story, is the Borant Corporation and the entities that make up that corporation, which are known as the Kuatine species. And they're like a fish-like people, right? So they're kind of like in a fishbowl, almost, in the water. And they speak with, like, somehow they speak, but they're wearing almost like a robot suit in many cases, to be able to move around, it looks like, at least in my mind and from the descriptions.
Favorite part too that I always forget as I've gotten further and further into the books is that the AI also translates everyone. So they're speaking in their language, but really Carl's hearing it in English.
Yeah, everyone can understand syndicate standard speak. That's the language and dialects that everyone is kind of speaking and getting translated into. And you also find out, as he's going into the dungeon, he can't quite read a certain sign. But then he starts to, you know, kind of learn or experience and gain the knowledge needed to start to read those signs. And he finds out he's reading in syndicate standard. And later on, he actually... there's a point in the books where he, like, loses that, and I won't go into that detail, but he loses it for a moment, and he goes and he's like, wow, I lost all of my abilities and my stuff. But he was able to just barely make out a little bit of Syndicate Standard, even though he lost his HUD and stuff. It was kind of interesting. So he kind of retained some of that knowledge, which is kind of cool. But anyways, going back real quick, I just wanted to finish this up. So we have Carl being told the planet is under extraction by Borin. And all of a sudden, you know, the AI is like, as it's speaking, these stairwells start to open up, hundreds of thousands of them across the planet, and simultaneously are opening up. And as that's happening, the AI is telling them that the AI will be running this dungeon, then, and that Borin has selected the 18 level dungeon as the means for the planetary species to attempt to reclaim their rights to the Earth and its resources. So if they only retain that right, and if they win the dungeon, if one or more crawlers, they're called crawlers in the dungeon, they do it. It's kind of like they're dungeon crawlers. It's kind of a funny trope, but whoever wins gets to have that win in that right. And Carl is like, okay, I guess, I mean, I'm freezing out here. It's 2 a.m. and it's wintertime, and I'm in Crocs and my boxers, and I'm holding my cat, and I don't have anywhere else to go. And he feels the warmth from the staircase emanating out, and he's just like, okay, we're going in. And that's how
John and starts. Loki.
Yeah.
I can see it. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's cool. So, okay, question.
Mm-hmm.
So he sees or he hears this AI just in his head.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the what he sees is basically like, think of any RPG video game you've ever played where you pop up your inventory and can go through your different menus that you have. He has that now. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm on book 5, and there's parts where he'll be talking about his inventory, and I'm like, I wish they would go deeper into like the mental, what he's doing. Cause in the first book, he kind of explains, and he's like, you have to like sit there and focus on it, and your brain just like, you think, okay, you're going to close it, and closes. But I feel like that would be so fucked. My brain, I would be like, what the fuck is going on?
I feel like you get used to it pretty quick. You know, it's just like playing any other game. You start to realize the menus, and like, if I click select right now and then LB and RB, I can cycle through the different options.
Bree doesn't see in pictures.
I don't. I'd be so fucked.
No, you would see.
What the fuck is this shit?
You'd literally see, because it's projected onto your vision.
That's so weird. It's hard to imagine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Okay. And so then basically this story is dungeon. Is Carl going through book one is what? The first two floors?
Yeah, so book one encompasses the first two floors and kind of getting down, seeing and entering the stairwell to floor 3.
And like learning how to be a dungeon crawler, and like, because now not only is he in this dungeon, but he's got to start fighting mobs, and you go in with whatever you have, so he has no weapons either.
Right.
So, yeah.
He enters the dungeon and he's kind of like, whoa, what is this place? You know, he's looking at this cool, like grand staircase that he's walked down in this huge, probably 20 to 30 foot tall doorway with carvings of the Kuatine on it. And he's like looking at the door, and the AI kind of describes what he's looking at for him, and gives descriptions. And that's just kind of a running theme. He can get descriptions on other players, enemies, items, etc., and the AI will read it to him if he's within a certain range and has visibility on it. But he's going through, and he starts to he's kind of like, oh, okay, I'm just gonna walk along. And I think that he did get told early on by the AI that he should find a tutorial guild, someone that's going to help him get used to his new situation and learn the rope, so to speak, of being in a dungeon. In dungeon crawler world. And he thinks I don't know how safe he feels, but he certainly doesn't feel like death is lurking behind any corner that he goes across just yet. But then all of a sudden he looks and he hears this sound and he turns around and then he's like, can that be
grill?
Yeah, can that be what is that? And this giant, just Mickey Mouse thrown together contraption of a tractor slash death drill thing just starts rolling down the hallway towards him with goblins in tow. And they're wearing like the goofiest stuff. They have pots and pans as weapons and sticks with pineapples at the end of them. Mm-hmm. And one of them's wearing a pot as a helmet, you know, and he's level like, what the hell?
Yeah, so level one.
He runs around the hallway and around the corner and he finds actual entrance to a tutorial guild. And he bangs on the door and he's like, let me in, let me in. And of course, the person behind the door is just waking up and he's like, oh, they started this already? They started the dungeon? I didn't know they were supposed to, they started this yet. And then he notices the goblin. And he's like, sorry, Belle, can't let you in if there's enemies nearby. So then he's like, are you kidding me? And then so Carl turns around. These goblins are all like level 1, 2, and 3. And Carl is level 1. And so, but he has pretty decent stats for being level 1 in terms of strength. His intelligence wasn't that high, but his strength was pretty good. So he's punching and kicking these dudes. He ends up winning that little brawl there. Yeah, he gets to go into the guild hall and learn from the guild master Mordecai.
Mordecai is one of my favorite characters. But Allie, you would freaking love this audiobook because it's one dude. His name's Jeff Hayes, but he has a different voice for each and every character.
Yes. Those are my favorite.
Fucking insane. Like there are times when you're sitting there listening and you're like, oh, they got another voice actor. And then you're like, wait, no, that's Jeff too. Like what?
That's how the Harry Potter ones are. Yes. Those are my favorite.
Very high production. Yeah. And book one does have a whole cast and kind of music. Well,
there's
and
two different recordings.
Yeah.
There's two different recordings. The regular one where it's just Jeff Hayes, and then they did the cast one where it's got sound effects and stuff.
Yeah, well, that one's very high production. But Jeff Hayes by himself is very high production just by himself. And it's one of the best audiobooks I've ever heard, and it's getting very high praise across the board for sure.
I didn't want to do the audiobooks because, you know me, I don't like audiobooks. But I have not been able to stop listening to the audiobooks. So
cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm excited. I want to read them.
I know. You would love these books. So
we're going to put Off Script on pause, everybody, and I'm going to read them.
Well, when the show comes out, you'll have a reason.
Yes, they will. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But then by that point, there's going to be way too many for you to catch up on.
Well, no, she'll do it. It's not going to be like Magicians where we make her watch it all and read it all before we do the episode. We're going to do it like season by season. Yeah, there is a webtoon of Dungeon Crawler of the first book, of only the first book. And so basically the first book ends with them going down into the third level. And basically the first book is just all tutorial. Nothing like super big and crazy happens. It's just like introducing us to the world, to the characters, to how the book's going to be written.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Well, let's just real quick touch on some of these cool aspects about the book. Like he encounters his first boss in the first book. And the first boss is a woman that she's very large. She's called the Hoarder. And there's just stuff that's stinking and piling within this giant room. And there's roaches. And you can tell that or Carl can tell that she seems very sad and almost like she's being controlled and manipulated to act this way and to look this way. And it's
which you then later find out that all of the NPCs are controlled and are forced to be in the dungeon too.
Right. But you also find out that some of the, or many of the human beings that were killed and sucked down within the buildings during the initial kind of takeover are being utilized as enemies and are being morphed into bosses and just all sorts of stuff. And your loved ones that you had will be brought back as
if
bosses.
They survived. If they survived.
Yeah. Oh, so well, even if they didn't survive, sometimes, in some cases, they're being utilized.
John, spoiler.
No, this isn't a spoiler.
For me.
No, I don't know anything that you don't know. I'm saying things that are already fact. That if they are dead, they can come if they back were, as undead. They
tell me that. I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No.
I promise you, this has already been said and talked about in all the other earlier books. Yes, no, they'll utilize those. They won't bring them back as living. They'll bring them back as dead or use their body parts. You know, just think of the that one boss that spun and was made of a bunch of grotesque pig-like beings that spun around the room like Sonic the Hedgehog.
When was that?
That was one of the later books. It was like book 3 or 4. I think it was book 4. No, it might have been actually book 2. No, it might have been book 1. Regardless, I think it was book 1 actually. But regardless, it's so many bosses he's fought, but they're all a great time. But I will say,
Carl would think so too.
He had a very hard time with his first boss because she was very sad and she was very, very depressed and very in shock. Yeah. She was very in shock of her situation. So Carl could tell that this woman was kind of morphed into this against her will, and now he needed to kill her. And it was really messed up. Kind of like this, you start to realize the dungeon is messed up and the showrunners.
Because it wasn't before.
No, there's just a running theme of like, wow, this is really messed up. And everyone starts to realize that, especially early in book one. And how messed up it is doesn't really become clear until you encounter the really significant aspects. But we haven't even mentioned that this is all televised.
Yeah, so it's basically Hunger Games-esque. It's called Dungeon Crawler World.
The whole universe.
And you get sponsors and you get fan boxes. And it's very Hunger Games.
You get brought into news, like segments, panels, and even conventions where fans can meet you and ask you questions and get your autograph.
Right after you're done fighting a bad guy, you get pulled to go be on a studio TV show. So you're like gross, covered in gore, and you're like sitting there talking.
No. They got those showers. They have showers where you just walk in and you're instantly clean and all your clothes are dry.
There's no way can you go on that show looking gross.
No, but speaking
of that, they also have beds where you can instantly sleep. You instantly walk in and out.
Only for 2 hours.
No, there's a bed that is the usually only available on the 12th floor where he had access to that at one point, and you walked in and out. You walked in and out. And
could you imagine, Allie, we would get so much shit done?
Oh my gosh, wouldn't that be like the dream?
And in his, oh, that's not all. In the kitchen he has in his private space, his personal space, he had access to this microwave thing where it has a menu of the food that you can select, and it'll just, you know, if you want a breakfast burrito, just click it.
Whoop.
Out comes a nice hot, fresh breakfast burrito.
So there's some cool aspects, okay? They're not
apart
all
from
fighting
for your life.
Well, hey, and his cat got to talk now, which is really fucking cool, in my opinion.
That is cool.
Yeah, I love that aspect. If, you know, you start to see over the course of the books, the bond between Carl and Donut, as Bree touched on earlier. At first, he didn't like Donut very much at all, and neither did Donut. But you start to see that relationship build upon itself and change significantly over the course of the books.
Yeah. Cool.
I do want to run through just like a few more things. You have Donut, who she becomes this kind of talking, powerful character in her own right, separate from just being a pet cat. Largely because of, spoiler, when Carl enters the dungeon, he is the first crawler to enter with a pet cat.
And how sad.
So he gets a legendary pet box, which contained a legendary pet biscuit, which Mordecai, once you're in a safe area, like the guild hall and the safe room, you can go in there. And Mordecai was like, oh my God, you have a legendary pet biscuit? That could have varying effects. It could do this, this, or this, or what have you. And as he's explaining it to him, Donut jumps up and eats it.
Like a cat would.
Yep. Oh, treat. So, but yeah, Princess Donut, as she calls herself. And she, because of her legendary pet biscuit, she got her own kind of perk, if you will, as a character with stats. And her perk brought her intelligence level through the roof.
She's really fucking smart.
And she knows spells and all sorts of cool stuff. She'll shoot you with a magic missile for sure. But she becomes
teammates. Leader.
Yeah, they are.
Cool.
Teammates, and she's the party leader. They're in a party together, and she calls her.
She made it. The princess's royal court.
Cute.
Royal court of Princess Donut, yeah. And she named Carl Royal Bodyguard.
Yeah.
Which I thought was hilarious.
That is cute.
One key group they meet in the first book.
Yeah, I forgot that they meet them in the first book. I was about to be like, all right, we're done with book one.
Do you want to talk about the group?
It's ironic, Allie. They run into a group of senior citizens who were at a senior
living
retirement home. Yeah. And it's them with their like caregivers, and the caregivers are basically fighting everything, keeping these old people alive. But the old people can't do shit.
I would give up. I would be like, y'all are on your own.
It got worse because then once Carl found them, Carl was really like, okay, we're gonna help get these people to further like floors. And then after they got down to the next floor, the AI didn't like it because AI, the whole thing they want is for these people to get killed and for the best of the best to continue forward. And so then they started making different rules for things, and like bathrooms, you can find bathrooms randomly throughout the dungeon. There's always a door in there with the bathroom that you can go use. But some people were peeing in the hallway. And so the AI kept saying, you guys, you can't do this. You guys, you can't do this.
No, that wasn't the AI.
Oh, who was it?
That was one of the Borant higher up dudes kind of announcing things. Special floor announcements pretty frequently, at least in the first few books.
Mm-hmm. So then while they're running, trying to save this group of people, one of the old dudes is like, I have to piss. And he pulls his pants down and everyone's like, no. And then he pees and a level like 99 fire elemental gets teleported to them and wiped them out.
All the old people?
Not all of them, but a good chunk of them.
Why couldn't you hold
the other guys get away?
That's a good question. I don't remember. John, how did they get away?
Well, I think it was a little bit of a distraction utilized there. For sure.
Oh, yeah.
And
they're getting eaten. Run.
Yeah. And they were in a kind of an area where there was kind of corners to turn to try to lose them and go into potentially safer. Get to a safe spaces and so forth. Okay. But yeah, that was a crazy, exhilarating part. Kind of hilarious. You know, the detail where don't use the bathrooms. And then this old geezer dude just doesn't give a damn.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then that's pretty much book one. Oh, what else?
Yeah, no, I would say that's pretty much book one. Okay. You know, a lot of tutorial stuff, a lot of learning the ins and outs, gaining skills, learning about stats and where to put them, meeting your fellow crawlers. There's also crawler killers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Get because your name floats above your head for other people, and if you have a skull next to your name, it means that you killed
a fellow
crawler. Mm. And so there's someone in the dungeon who had like 20 skulls after their name. Mm.
Yeah, if you're killing your own in the dungeon, that's messed up. And Carl and Donut both agree that they should put an end to those people because. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in it for human survival, earthlings survival.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Very cool.
I think that's our minisode one for Dungeon Crawler Carl. But
come back again for book two.
Book two.
Minisode next.
Thanks, bye. Guys.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shoutouts to Madam Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.